your mercy and your love. And Father, just that alone is more than we ever deserve. But yet every day you allow us to experience the blessings of the life here on earth. And Father, you give us that strength. You give us the ability to accomplish. And Father, we need to be continually grateful for that. And Lord, even as we gather tonight and we realize the importance of studying your word, that we may know you more, that we may know how we need to respond to you. Lord, I just pray as we study that it's more than just words, more than just a study, but it might be life-altering and changing because of who you are. And God, we just thank you and we praise you for all that you do in us and through us. In your son's name, amen. All right, appreciate everyone here tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. We are going through this letter, and I think by now we realize how important it is to understand the solid foundation that God has given us in who he is. It's a tremendous foundation that Peter, I think, has been expounding on. And as we began last week with the chapter 2, we realized that word wherefore at the beginning of verse 1 basically gives us a moment to pause because of everything we've just seen or the foundation that was laid by Peter. We realize that not only he said, look at me, I'm the one who wrote this. You remember all that I did. Remember how I betrayed him. Remember I denied him 3 times. And remember all the things that we did in the beginning of the church. And Peter was the first one who preached the gospel message where 3,000 souls were saved. And so Peter said, I'm not writing from head knowledge. I'm writing from a heart of experience. And there's a big difference between those two. Because you can say, my God is good. And that's a very true statement. But when you go through something in life and you're at the bottom of your barrel and you realize or you experience how good he is, then it's a whole new level. And so Peter's writing to them and saying, listen, I've experienced this. I've lived this. And then they talk about who God is. They talk about who they are and all the promises that God gave them. And that was the foundation that was built where he said, all of us need to stay on that foundation. We need to stay solid on that. He is the rock. Christ is the rock of our and solid rock of our foundation, and we need to realize that that's where we stand. So no matter how far we fall, no matter how deep we think we are, whether it be in a tragedy or whether it be just because of bad choices, whatever, no matter how far we're down, there always will be that solid foundation. And we will never go any further than God allows us to go. And then he's going to allow us to realize, wait a minute, I can stand up because I'm on this foundation. And that's how I believe Peter is encouraging these scattered Jews. Because they are scattered. They have lost everything. They are individuals who really wake up in the morning with no purpose other than survival. And so they've reached what we would call the bottom of the barrel. And Peter says, but at the bottom of the barrel, this is your foundation. You're going to be okay. And boy, if we could really wrap our minds around that, no matter how our life goes, no matter what we see coming into our life, we are able at that point to realize that we can also stand on that firm foundation. And so, wherefore, as we looked at chapter 2, he says there's, because of all of that, because of all that it's study, because now that you need to realize, because beginning in verse 13 of chapter 1, also there is a wherefore. Because of God who is, we need to gird up the loins of our minds. And I can't tell you how many times just this week that I have used that verse in talking to people. Because how do you get through? How do you look at the situation you're in and how do you manage through it? And I always go back 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Of course, the next question is, what in the world does gird up your loins mean? So then I'd have to go through, well, back in the Jewish customs, they had the long gowns, and if they were going to run, they would take the gowns and they would fold it up like a diaper, and they would take that around their groin. They would wrap it up so that they could run. So that's the mindset of girding up. Basically, tie up, tighten up, solid your mind. Why? Everything we do comes from there. Every word we say, every feeling we feel, every step we make, every response that we have, all starts here. And that's why God, through all the word, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, mind. Out of it are the wellsprings of life. Romans 12, by the renewing of your mind. And Peter, gird up your mind. God knew, he created us, by the way, right? He knew that that's where everything starts. If you think wrong, you will go wrong. If you think bad, you will act bad. If you think you can't, then you will live like you can't. That's why our mind is so important. Because of the foundation Peter laid in the first part of chapter 1, we find now in verse 13, gird up your mind. Be holy, be sober, be like Christ, no matter the circumstance. Nothing changed between chapter 1 and chapter 2. Nothing changed in their circumstance. They were still scattered. They were still stuck in caves. They were still waking up not knowing if they were going to live or die. But the only thing that changed is because God is who he is, think properly. If you think properly, then you'll live properly. And now in chapter 2, listen, we need to realize we are his people. We are his children. Because we are his children, he's not going to leave us out there stranded on our own. So that's where we come into verse 1 of chapter 2. Wherefore then, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy of envies and evil speaking, and then we looked at last week, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Listen, if you're saved, if you've asked Christ into your heart, you've tasted how gracious he is. If you've looked in the mirror and you see the person that you are at times when you make that bad choice, or maybe think that wrong thought, or you go that wrong direction, and you look in the mirror and you think, man, what a wretched man I am. Well, you've tasted the graciousness of God by still being one of his children. If you've tasted that, then we go on to verse 4 and following. We're now going to see this concept of living. And this is an interesting thing. It's not talking about you and I waking up in the morning, our heart is still beating, our breath is still working, we're living. That's only the physical side of it. We're now going to see the concept of living, all the truth that you just understood. What does that look like? Well, in verse 4, it says, to whom coming would be Christ coming, as who unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. We need to understand this concept of living stone. It's not the first time we've seen this area of living. Go back in chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. It's that living again. It's the alive mindset. Your hope that you have should be living. It's not a dead hope. It's not a maybe hope. It is a guaranteed living hope. And so when Peter says this to them, listen, you're acting like there's nothing to hope for beyond of what you see. And I'm telling you, there are many Christians who live their life really not hoping for something different or hoping for something better. Hoping means that there's life to it. How do you put life to hope? Well, that means, yeah, today, this moment, my life is a shambles. My life is messed up. Things are going crazy. My whole world is flipping upside down. But if my hope is living, it's not going to stay that way. My life isn't going to stay. I have hope in my God that he's not going to keep it that way. And so that to live, the key word in all this is to live. So from 1:3, go to verse 23 of chapter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So he's first introduced this concept of living as a living hope. He then introduces it as the word of God, as a living word of God. What God speaks is not just words on a page. What God speaks is living power of who he is. So therefore, if I'm going to live as it's alive in me, then the word of God, again, as we saw in verse 2, as a babe cries for food. I was always told whenever a baby cries, there's only two reasons. He could have fell, but that's not in the process. Two reasons. Either they want fed or they want changed. Pretty much that's about it. Those are the two main reasons, or, you know, bellyache and all that kind of stuff, but that comes between in and out, okay? The bellyache. But when you look at what I think he's saying here, when the baby cries, it's because there's a need. You and I ought to cry for the word of God because there's a need in our life. Not that we've done wrong and we need. It's every day of our life. We need that living word because there is power in the word of God. There is not only power, there is strength. There is wisdom. There is ability that you and I would never have any other way. It's all in the word of God. So Peter told these Jews who were waking up with very little purpose in life, you have a living hope. Your hope is not based on what you see. You have a living word of God. And in that living word of God, you're going to get your power. Here in verse 4, it says, unto a living stone. So what does he mean by this living stone? Well, we're talking about a foundation, right? When you're standing at the beach, would you rather stand on the sand or the rock? Have you ever stood at the side of a beach when the ocean comes in and the water washes away and then everything underneath you goes with it? Everything underneath you just sort of goes. You see, when you stand on a rock, you don't move. He is our living stone. He is the cornerstone. In fact, Peter, we know back when he was named Christ, the Greek is little rock. Peter, upon you I will build my church. Now, Peter's not laying in the foundation. That's Christ. What he meant to say is, Peter didn't know it yet, but Peter, you're going to preach my first message, and you're going to preach that sermon, and 3,000 people are going to come to know Christ. I'm going to build my church upon you. You're going to speak the word of Christ, and the church will become basically into fruition. It was the very first sermon. It was the very first conversions other than the disciples. So that being said, we now have a living stone. So there's three living things that you and I have at our fingertips. We have hope, we have the word of God, and we have a solid rock to stand on. What else do we need? There's nothing else we need. So he's encouraging these Jews that are scattered, as you and I need to be encouraged, because I don't know about you, but every morning when I wake up and I look at what's on the news, I'm like, how can it get any worse? And then I wake up the next day, and it is. It's going down a spiral. Do you realize at any given time the dynamics that could change in America? Right now we have that reprieve going on, but man, is it getting beat up. It is getting forced many directions. And in any given moment, we could have a change in leadership, a change in mindset, and we could be a nation where Christians become martyred for their faith. Very short order. We may be like these Jews one day. We may be the dispersed because we believe in Christ and we're not going to denounce them. So this message is very important for you and I to grab hold of. It's very important because we need to understand what's going to allow me to live when I have nothing to live for. What's going to allow me to live when I don't have a purpose because everything is gone? I have a hope, I have the Word of God, and I've got a solid rock to stand on. And that's now, that's in every day of our life. And to me, that's exciting to grab that because it was disallowed of men, but chosen of God. God chose those three things for you and I to have. Men doesn't want it. Men could care less about the rock of God, could care less about the Word of God, and the only hope you have is if you make it work. That's what the world offers. That's what the world brings. It was disallowed. It was rejected. It was not wanted of men, but chosen of God. Why? Because listen, God, before the foundations of the world, which means before he created anything, he knew exactly how bad our world was going to be, how bad everything was going to look. And so when we find in Genesis, when God stated he was sorry that he ever created man, because everything that man thought, the intent of his heart, was evil. A little bit of a side note here. When you do a study of that, Genesis 6, do a study in that. Just before the fall of Noah, he found Noah. Noah built the ark, then the flood. Before that all happened, what we need to realize is that sin is much deeper than the evil choices we make. It's much deeper than the bad decisions. It's much deeper. Because why? Because we can't fix the sinfulness or the sin that's in the heart of man. We can't on our own fix that. That only gets fixed by Jesus Christ. We can't fix it. We can fix a bad decision. We can fix some of the evil thoughts we have. We just don't think them. But we cannot fix the core reason of why. As God looked upon the earth and said, every thought and intent of the heart was evil. God's the only one that can fix that. We can't fix it on our own. So God looks at that. And do you really think God said, I wish I never would have created man? I really don't want him. I hate him. I don't like him. I think God made that verse, or at least allowed that verse to us, so that we realized his mercy and grace. And his faithfulness. We talked about that Sunday. The goodness of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God. Those are the things that allow us and we need to thank God for in Psalms 106:1. That's a true story of what it looks like. And so pulling that back into here, men disallowed but chosen of God. Man, that's awesome. When you get a good solid understanding of that verse, the next verse then is doable. Until you understand verse 4, verse 5 you'll never accomplish. Verse 5 says, ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house, holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You can't offer up anything until you understand verse 4. Till you understand what he's wanting, you understand that because he was a living stone, solid. And now he's saying, I want you to be a living stone. First of all, we're built up. Who does the building up? God does. Why does God want to build us up? So that he can be glorified and we could represent or build up the church. And it's a symbolic way. You know, you realize laying bricks. If you lay bricks straight every row, you're going to only go so high and they're going to fall. You've got to intertwine your bricks so that one brick strengthens the other brick. And the next row strengthens the next row. In fact, when you do a study, you go when the one of the things of Scripture, when they had the Olive Gardens and each family had a row. And when it said that you are to help your neighbor and that you are to take up the burdens of your neighbor in Galatians 6, I believe, it says what they meant that is that if I was walking down my property, my wall, and I would see a spot in your wall that a stone had fallen out, well, then pick up a stone, put it in there, and pound it in there. Fix the wall of your neighbor. That's not only good for your neighbor, but if his wall falls, guess what? It's on your property. It's going to fall and ruin your deal. The building up. See, that's why we're lively stones building up the church, strengthening one another as we go. And I think it's important that we get that out of verse 5 because it's a spiritual house and it needs to look like the holy priesthood. The holy priesthood is what Leviticus is all about. The holy priesthood was the individual priest who were offering up sacrifices as the burnt offering so that God in the sweet-smelling savor looked upon that for a time being and accepted that as a forgiveness. Now, they didn't forgive they weren't forgiven of all their sins like you and I are forgiven from the core. But in that obedience to God, we know that in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham was found faithful. His obedience was counted for righteousness. And so when we see this priesthood, what he's saying is each one of us now have the ability to live our life, to strengthen each other, to build the spiritual house of God, because we all have the ability in Christ. It's not one person. It's not a priest doing it for the whole. It's now every one of us have an opportunity to be that lively stone in the walls, supporting each other. The problem is when we have Christians who don't want to support each other, we end up building a wall like this. And it will fall quickly. Churches will split over the craziest things. People will not like each other over the weird, craziest things. We need to be strong. Why? Because we need to build a wall that is strong. Why? Because the world's pretty rough. And we need to have that wall, the spiritual house that we are building. So as we now, because he is Christ, we now become part of that stone, building up that spiritual house, holy priesthood, to do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What do we offer up? We offer up our lives. We offer up what we do. We offer up all that we have and all that we are. See, that's what God looks like. We are told in 2 Timothy that we are to study the word, be approved by, be acceptable by God. Because when we live our life according to God's plan, we are offering up spiritual sacrifices. We are offering up to God. Listen, because of everything we just learned, everything we know, God, I want to stand on this foundation. I don't want to focus on my circumstance. I want to focus on who you are so that I can remain part of building the strong spiritual house for God. That we can help each other in that process and we can build that. But again, there are many people out there trying to lift up spiritual sacrifice. I'm listening to David Jeremiah today a little bit, and he made a statement about music. And he said, unless the music glorifies God or draws people to God, you should never sing it in your church. Music has been introduced in a subtle way. Music is so important in our lives. It's so important in our churches. But music has been introduced in a way and is changing the theology. It's changing the God all about you into, I am going to do all this for God. And so because of that, we have this sacrifice, but is it acceptable to God? And somehow we forgot that we can build all the strong bricks we can build, but without that solid rock of Christ, it's not going to matter. So this lively hope that he has in here, and again, all those two verses have is to me an understanding, because I've tasted the graciousness of God. He came and gave me three: hope, the word, and here, as we saw, the stone to stand on, which is going to allow me to stand firm, to offer up sacrifice. How do I know my sacrifice is acceptable to God? It's by knowing the word of God. It's by living that word of God. And those three living things need to be applied to our life every day. If we apply them to our life, we're offering up acceptable sacrifices to God. That's when we begin to build the strength brick by brick. And that's as a church, as a body of God's children, we're able to overcome things. We're being able to overcome certain issues. And I don't know, I am not a prophet. I don't know how much we will have to sacrifice and suffer before the rapture comes. We may have to be just like these Jews, scattered, losing everything before we end up going and gaining everything. We don't know that, but we need to understand the solid rock when it happens. And we can even do that on every day of our life. When tragedies come in, things come into our life, even the joyful days, are we offering up the sacrifice that's acceptable to God? Are we doing what God is asking us to do? We only know that by what? The living word of God in our life. So I'm gonna end there, then we'll jump into the next wherefore in verse 6. Because again, you have to understand verse 1's wherefore, verse 4 and 5 as it sets up the liveliness or the living part of our life, and then understand again in verse 6 that it goes into another wherefore. So we're going to look at that next week, but really think through this hope, word of God, and the solid rock of God. Those three things, are they really solidified in your mind, solidified in your heart? Do you have a hope no matter what your day looks like? Are you into the word of God, knowing that you can then offer up an acceptable sacrifice to him? And man, don't ever forget, you're standing on a solid rock. No matter how far you go down, God's there with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study. We thank you for the word tonight. And Father, I pray as we just pull it into perspective that in our everyday life, that we are able to just look at it. And Father, know that our days at times look, like a lot of work, a lot of burden, a lot of things going on. And yet our days also look great and joyful. But no matter what the day looks like, we need to realize that there are certain aspects that we need to never forget. And that is the hope, the word, and the stone, the solid rock we stand on and that we represent. God, we just thank you for all you do in us and through us. And Father, continue to teach us, continue to mold us as we live in this world that needs to know you so desperately. Father, we just lift it all to you in your son's name. Amen.